This morning, I want to think about God's creativity and its implications for us and inspiration for us to be creative. Part of the inspiration for me this week comes from the fact that I've had someone in the house for much of the week who's been doing some jobs for us, and he's really inspired me. He's been doing some repairs to the stairs and making some changes there. But he's not just a workman. He's not just a carpenter, a chippy, as they would be known. He's also a fine craftsman. He's a cabinet maker. Some of you would know that I have made a few oak museum type cabinets in my time, and in fact, if you've ever been to our house, you will have seen them, even though you might not have recognized them. You probably put your cup of coffee on a coaster on top of them. James, the person who's been here this week, was the one who taught me how to do cabinet making. If my skill levels are here, his are way up there, far above mine. One of the things that I like is that when James does a job, he doesn't just do something which is cost effective. He doesn't just work to a time scale. He doesn't say, I'm here from 9 to 5 and then I'm off. He stays. He does the job properly. He waits until it is finished. He completes it to the highest standard and make sure that the job will last. One example of that would be Thursday, the last day he was here. And even though I was out for much of the day, he was here from 8 in the morning and he only left at 7:30 in the evening. And then had an hour's drive and then work to do back in the workshop when he got home. What he offers is his creativity. He offers to do something amazing, exceptional, and long-lasting. Well, today I want to reflect on how we can bring those things at times as we offer ourselves to God. I'm just going to have to plug my computer into a different power source. Just bear with me for a second. Thank you. Sorry about that. Just noted that the particular way the system was set up this morning, it was going to struggle with power. I'm about to run out of juice in a few minutes, so I needed to make a change. So we're thinking about creation. And to do that, I want to go to the very first book of the Bible, literally the first few words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And to describe this new universe that God had created, the writer uses 3 Hebrew words that I'm not going to tell you. Firstly, because I probably can't pronounce them rightly. And secondly, because you won't remember them correctly, I'm sure. But even in English, those 3 words have an ominous meaning. Without form. Void. And then the Spirit hovering over the deep. Those words, without form, being shapeless, null, void, empty. Those words describe a universe that was just that, the whole universe, empty, desolate, without shape, confusing, chaotic, a lifeless universe without function or focus. And yet, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And amongst all that emptiness, the Spirit of God was hovering. You get that sense in those words of expectation, anticipation, something is about to happen. You get that sense of the poised expectation of what is coming. And then from that confusion, that emptiness, that chaos, God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was. He just spoke the words, and light came into the world. And through that, life could come into the world. God's creativity being revealed. At the start of our service, we sang that amazing Charles Wesley hymn, "And Can It Be?" And we thought about that reality, that two things that Wesley brings together. First, the God of incomparable love. But secondly, that we, his children, are called to have intimacy with this God of incomparable love and power. My first encouragement to you this morning from this passage in Genesis is that in thinking of God's creation, we do something similar. We bring those two things together again. Firstly, the same extraordinary Creator God who filled the formless, empty universe with billions upon billions of stars and planets is the same God who carefully, meticulously formed you in your mother's womb. Just take a moment to let the awesome truth of that sink into your soul a little bit deeper this morning. If you weren't quite switched on earlier in our worship, take a moment now to digest how God bringing life into this world with all its wonder also is linked to him bringing life to you personally. Isn't that reason for thanksgiving? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we were thinking about Sabbath, and I gave you a quote from Eugene Peterson. He describes Sabbath like this. He said it's a time to receive silence and let it deepen into gratitude. If you've just taken a moment to recognize the magnitude of the Creator God in your intimate involvement with him, if you've just taken a moment to take that on board, that's what you've just done. You've been putting it into practice in the silence. And surely the response has to be gratitude. What a God we have. Thank you, Lord. That's what we do, incidentally, on Sabbath. That's what we do. We gain perspective. We bring our lives back into the enormous magnitude of who God is. But let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis. And this world that we've described that is empty and formless and void and, of course, in total darkness. Can you begin to picture that? It's really not easy to recognize total darkness if you go outside at night in this country. There's such light pollution from traffic lights and road signs and all that sort of thing. And then if there's cloud, that light, even from towns and cities miles away, bounces off the clouds. And it's really not as dark as we might hope it would be. But I have known complete darkness when I was in Africa. We worked in a school which was in the middle of the bush. And at night, your lights were provided, the powerful lights were provided by a generator. But at 10 o'clock, that generator was turned off and literally the day stopped. And you might have had a candle or a torch to keep things going for a little while, but that was it. So what you tended to do was get yourself organized a few minutes before 10 and make sure you knew where everything was, you were ready, so you could get in bed. On one occasion, I'd been to visit some friends and I'd been into their home and it was about 2-3 minutes to 10 and I knew I needed to get out so that I could walk to my Land Rover that was only about 20 meters away from the house. Unfortunately, that night, the generator was turned off early. I'd gone maybe 2-3 steps outside and didn't have my torch with me. And it was pitch black. Nothing. I could not see a thing. There was no moon. I guess there were it was a cloudy night, so I couldn't even see stars. I could not see my hand in front of my face. And I had to move gingerly with my hands out to try and avoid the bushes and the trees that I had to negotiate to get to the Land Rover. Total darkness. That was the world. Can you imagine? Contrast that with the daylight that we had yesterday. 18 hours of light and staggering sunshine pouring into this world. That's the magnitude of change that God brought, the darkness that he transformed on the first day. He simply spoke, "Let there be light," and there was. He spoke the words, and that light transformed the world. And here's the point that I want us to grasp and consider for ourselves this week. Isn't that the same kind of transformation out of darkness into some light that makes sense that so many people in this world crave and are desperate to find? People for whom darkness, emptiness, chaos, confusion describes their everyday experience of life. Just take a moment again. Who do you know whose life could be described to some degree in that way? Who do you know who's really struggling with chaos? With hopelessness. Now imagine the Holy Spirit hovering over that person, surrounding them, giving them strength, comfort, hope, purpose, focus, a direction. Imagine the very things they're probably longing for. Imagine the difference that light brought into their lives could bring. And now imagine if you could be part of bringing that light to them. Well, if ever you've prayed into their life, if ever you have shared a little bit of hope with someone, if you've tried to encourage someone who's really down, that's what you've been doing. This morning, this is where I want us to go. I want us to take what is easy to absorb, which is knowledge about God, and turn it into inspiration for God and into action for other people for God. Because the Bible tells us you are made in the image of God. And like God, you are called to a purpose. You are called to be creative. Human beings are creative because that's the way God made us. Jesus said, you are salt and light in the world. Salt, we know, brings seasoning. It brings taste to something you're about to ingest. It makes things more palatable for us. But light can open up a door, can reveal a way forward. It can discern a way ahead for someone. It enables people to see more clearly. And our example of that, of course, is Jesus, the true light of the world. He lived a life which lit up the lives of individuals and communities around him again and again. He brought that light and life as he taught, which illuminated the way they should live. He taught them the good news of God and the kingdom of God, which operate in a different way to what people were expecting and had understood previously. And on the Sermon of the Mount, as I've already said, Jesus, looking at his followers, speaking of them and you and me, said, you are light and salt in this world. Paul said the same thing in Philippians. He spoke about us shining like stars in the darkness of this world. That's part of what we bring, light that can transform. And at this point, maybe you're thinking, bit of a stretch, starting to compare us with God. I'm not doing that. What I'm looking for is inspiration of the example of God in creation and looking to see for us, people made in the image of God, what we might learn from that and put into practice. Sound a bit impossible? Think about it. What did God do? He simply spoke and there was light. And for us too, it may be as simple as you speaking words which encourage, which lift up, which say you matter, you are important, you have value, which reveal a different way from the tunnel vision someone might already have, which sheds light on a way forward that gives hope from simple words. God's words have the power to bring light and life. And you have the same power in your words. Let me take you to Proverbs 18:21, which says the tongue has the power of life and death. You know that verse, don't you? The same thing. The tongue has the power to cut someone down in their tracks, to say something cruel, unkind, that could undermine, that could set a child back for the rest of its life, that could send someone who's feeling vulnerable into a pit of despondency. Our words have that power to create death in people. But they have the power to create life. If we give encouragement, if we give a completely different response, you are made in the image of God, and our words have power as God's words add power. Being made in the image of God means having the power for your words to bring light and hence life into the lives of people who are really struggling or who don't know God and don't have the hope that he wants them to know. And Jesus demonstrated that consistently throughout his ministry. Two well-known examples where Jesus saw opportunities to use words in a way which was different. Other people might use words to hold people down, to keep them in their place, to condemn, to alienate. An example might be the woman at the well. Why was she there in the middle of the day? She was there in the middle of the day because she'd been ostracized. She was there because the other women were filling their flasks of water early in the morning. She had to be kept separate. That's what words and actions do to people. Jesus spoke to her. The woman who was about to be stoned to death. The words of individuals that literally were going to bring death to a woman who'd done something wrong. Do you notice Jesus' words in both situations? They were words not of condemnation, but words of invitation, of welcome, of valuing. Simple words that we too can use to people around us that can transform their day or even their lives. Another example, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus was entering Jericho with his disciples. The crowds were excited. One of the people in the crowd sitting in the background was blind Bartimaeus. And when he heard, like everybody else, the master, the great rabbi was coming, he got excited and started to call out when Jesus was clearly somewhere in the vicinity. Son of David, have mercy on me. And what was the response of the crowd? Shut up. Keep your mouth shut. You're not important. And I dare say that man had had a lifetime of hearing that. Jesus' response was different, was to call him over and transform his life. Words that could welcome, that say, you do matter. And he asked him the question, what do you want me to do for you? Our words can do exactly the same. In Genesis, we see revealed the character of God, the potential for words to have immense blessing. And 2,000 years ago, when Jesus had returned to glory and the Apostle Paul was trying to do his bit to build up the church and give them an appropriate focus to these very people that had been told they were the light of the world, the Apostle Paul spoke words to them. To the different churches, he shared what their perspective should be. To the church at Ephesus, he said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And to the church at Thessalonica, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. That encouragement, the things that come from our mouths, have the power to cut down, but they have the power to build up. My simple message today is we see the example of the Creator God and we are made in his image to be creative. How can we do that? How can we be a people who are creative in the excuse me, in the way that we use words to bless people? I want to encourage you this week, every day when you wake up, just think to yourself, Lord, who can I bless today with words that might just give them an encouragement to keep going, that might help them to overcome really difficult days? Words that might give them a real pick you up. Maybe then you can pray, Lord, would you give me the words? Here's where it is key. We don't have that power in ourselves. It is the Holy Spirit that works through us. So bring the Holy Spirit, bring the wisdom of God into our lives to the extent that we can start to be an immense blessing in every situation. Maybe you could dare to stand next to someone you don't know and just quietly say, Lord, can I say anything to this person that will bring life into their lives instead of what they've been used to hearing day in and day out? May God help us to put into practice that creative character he's blessed us all with, and find ways to do something that transforms other people's lives by bringing light into the situation. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for inviting us to be part of your process of bringing light into the world. Thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted us to look for opportunities. Lord, who are those people who just need help, who need someone to say, what do you want me to do for you today? Who are the people whose lives are chaotic, who are despondent, who feel like there's a dark cloud surrounding them? Lord, would you give us encounters with such people? Would you open our eyes to discern where those things exist? Lord, that word might be as simple as hello. Father, we ask, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transform us to be a church that shines for you. In the darkness of this world, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.